Here's a phrase I bet you didn't expect to hear, given Republicans in business versus Democrats in unions as they battle in Illinois these days.
This is an agreement that was reached between the department, the organized labor, as well as business.
But when State Representative Jay Hoffman said that, he wasn't kidding. Governor Bruce Rauner's administration, labor, and business all agreed on something. In this case, unemployment insurance. I'm Amanda Vinicky with The Players, your look into who's who in Illinois politics and what they're up to. Today, a deeper look into how the unemployment insurance deal came about and what it does. Listen to Governor Rauner sounding all gung-ho about it.
We're pleased that the unemployment insurance reform bill passed. It's an important step in improving the competitiveness of our economy to grow jobs here in the state of Illinois.
I know, given Illinois' budget problems, fights over right-to-work zones and workers' compensation, maybe unemployment insurance isn't at the top of everyone's priorities list, but it's a big deal for workers who get laid off, and it's a big expense for businesses. Plus, the state needs to make sure its fund to pay out those benefits remains flush. Given the political climate in Springfield, any compromise is worthy of attention. I talked to two of the people at the negotiating table about it. Sean Stott, the government relations director for the Laborers International Union Midwest Region, and on the business front, Rob Carr, head of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association. For starters, let's check into what exactly does this deal do to unemployment insurance in Illinois. First, it does away with something called the Social Security offset. Here's Stott to explain.
For working people, the one item that was gained in these negotiations, it's primarily for older workers who are receiving Social Security. Currently, they see their unemployment benefits reduced by the amount of money that they receive from the federal government in Social Security benefits.
Not anymore. Under the deal, older workers who've been laid off will no longer get smaller unemployment benefit just because they're on Social Security. Paying out more benefits, though, will cost employers more. They think about $25 million. So the deal does something that makes the business side happy, something employers hope will lower their expenses. Here's Carr.
We have redefined misconduct. So employees who do certain things under misconduct, they will be less able to obtain their benefits if they've done something wrong in the workplace, like ignored employer policies on attendance or used illegal substances on the job. Those type of things would get them more likely get them disqualified from unemployment benefits, which means that we think in the that is enough to offset the increase in the unemployment insurance taxes.
So there you have it, the deal. To be clear, from what Stott and Carr say, this wasn't an easy agreement to reach. Talks were long and contentious. Labor did sign off, but with concerns about those misconduct changes.
Obviously, that is something that that labor was not very enthused about. That was the biggest issue that we had to deal with in terms of coming to an agreement. And we did everything we could to protect unemployed workers who are legitimately, through no fault of their own, unemployed.
Still, they made the deal happen. Now, how did they reach it and why? It's not just business and labor who came together. This is something that Republicans and Democrats are on board with, that Governor Bruce Rauner applauded. In a way, their hands were forced. Here's Carr again.
Every time we do an agreed bill process, and we have done a number of these over the course of decades, all successfully, we are intentionally insert what are called rest stops or speed bumps. They force both sides back to the table. Just to review the program, see how it's working. Each side then has the opportunity to ask for additional tweaks to the program.
Stott lays it out a bit more and tells you what's at stake.
There's always been an item placed in the law that would be distasteful to both business and labor. That item was looming on the horizon very, very shortly, the beginning of next year. And so that
basically
brought...
Basically, workers would have gotten less, businesses would have had to pay more.
Correct. Employer unemployment taxes would have gone up. Workers who were unemployed would have seen their benefits reduced. And neither side, of course, wanted to see that happen. And as a result, that brought both parties back together.
Sounded to me like a high-stakes game. I asked Carr about that.
Kind of a dangerous game of chicken.
Well, it is and it isn't, really. I mean, neither side wants to have either one of those things happen. So that does force, in a sense, both sides to the table. It forces both sides, I think, to be reasonable in their approach. So everyone has an incentive to talk and communicate, and we've all done this multiple times. So there's a little familiarity there as well.
Well, it worked. Legislators say this should be the path for future deals. a mechanism to break the gridlock.
This was the agreed bill process. It worked. I think we should be doing it for other items such as workers' compensation.
This is how good legislation should be conducted more often. It takes time, it's laborious, but it's worth it. And this is a great example of compromise and a good end game. So congratulations to you and everyone involved.
And I think we ought to use it as an example that if there's a willingness on the part of the legislature and the second floor to get to yes, to come to an agreement, here's a case where we can do it. Let us use that as an example of what we can do on the budget and on other issues that are tying us up in other areas. So congratulations, great job.
That was Representative Hoffman, the sponsor, then two Republicans, Representatives Ron Sandeck and David Harris. Maybe this could be a path forward. Then again, that could be easier said than done. Sean Stott with the Laborers says unemployment insurance is different than, say, Governor Rauner's calls for limiting collective bargaining.
If both sides are reasonable in what their requests are, there may be some ability to work together to get a compromise. Unfortunately, a lot of the things that we have seen come out of the governor's office are not reasonable when it comes to taking away collective bargaining rights for workers in local governments, when it comes to cutting wages for construction workers on local construction projects. There's nothing there that labor can see as a path to coming to a resolution on. And so, with unemployment insurance, there was something out there for working people to gain from sitting down and talking, and we did successfully negotiate that. And so, it's something that I think if you see the party that initiates the talks is being reasonable in their goals, that there can be some discussions held.
So maybe this agreed bill process thing isn't the answer. But let's end on an optimistic note and revisit how it did work with unemployment insurance. Here's Irma's Rob Carr again.
I think the fact that the speed bumps force you back to the table is clearly an inherent encouragement, right, for both sides. But both sides could have ignored it. The governor's office could not have convened it. They chose to convene the agreed bill processes. They chose to oversee it, and they did so in a very mild-mannered approach. They could have chosen not to include the caucuses, but they chose to include the caucuses. They essentially chose to do what has worked in the past. And I think that does show an example of what can happen when all sides choose to make it happen.
The next so-called speed bump for unemployment insurance hits in 2018, so these players will be back at the table in 2017. This has been The Players, your look into who's who in Illinois government and what they're up to. I'm Amanda Vinicky.